Peace be upon you. God willing, today we're going to start reading from where we left off last time. We're going to start from chapter 2, verse 30 through 39. Again, we pulled the audio from submission.ws, aka Submission Radio. God willing, let's begin. We seek refuge in God from Satan the Rejected.
Recall that your Lord said to the angels, I am placing a representative, temporary God on earth. They said, will you place therein one who will spread evil therein and shed blood? While we sing your praises, glorify you, and uphold your absolute authority? He said, I know what you do not know. He taught Adam all the names, then presented them to the angels, saying, give me the names of these if you are right. They said, be you glorified, we have no knowledge except that which you have taught us. You are the omniscient, most wise. He said, O Adam, tell them their names. When he told them their names, he said, did I not tell you that I know the secrets of the heavens and the earth? I know what you declare and what you conceal. When we said to the angels, fall prostrate before Adam, they fell prostrate, except Satan. He refused, was too arrogant and a disbeliever. We said, O Adam, live with your wife in paradise and eat therefrom generously as you please. But do not approach this tree, lest you sin. But the devil duped them and caused their eviction therefrom. We said, go down as enemies of one another. On earth shall be your habitation and provision for a while. Then Adam received from his Lord words whereby he redeemed him. He is the Redeemer most merciful. We said, go down therefrom, all of you. When guidance comes to you from me, those who follow my guidance will have no fear, nor will they grieve. As for those who disbelieve and reject our revelations, they will be dwellers of hell, wherein they abide forever.
Fantastic. Okay, God willing, let's start talking about these verses. Let's start with a little bit of background.
So when you talk to a lot of people from different religions and you ask them, why were we created? They'll start the whole story with Adam and Eve and them approaching the tree. But from what we know from these verses, that God informs us that the whole history started long before Adam and Eve were in paradise.
It actually started before even the classification of angels, jinns, humans, animals. It started when Satan, one of God's creatures, had supercilious thoughts that he could be a god beside God. God, knowing that this is basically blasphemous and erroneous, as opposed to just kicking Satan out of God's kingdom, he wanted to expose Satan.
Because otherwise, the other creatures who, at this time, it was just God and creatures. The other creatures would have said, God, why are you doing this? You know, Satan didn't do anything wrong. So God wanted to expose Satan for the egotistic and
arrogant
creature that he was.
God, being most gracious, most merciful, decided to test Satan's claim. Similarly, if someone says, hey, I can fly a plane, easiest way to test their claim is to give them a plane to fly. Satan saying that he thought he could be a god beside God, God wanted to give him constituents, a dominion, and have him prove to himself and to all the other creatures that he was incapable of being a god. Further evidence in regards to these supercilious thoughts that Satan was having can be found in the Old Testament in Isaiah chapter 14, verses 12 through 14, where it reads, how you have fallen from the heaven, O morning star, son of the dawn, you have been cast down to the earth. You who once laid low the nations, you said in your heart, I will ascend to the heaven. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. I will sit enthroned on the Mount of Assembly on the utmost heights of the sacred mountain. I will ascend above the tops of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. So here is Satan basically saying to himself that he thought he could be a god beside God.
So at this time, though, Satan wasn't exposed as having these thoughts, but having these thoughts was enough to give other creatures the idea to have these thoughts as well, even without voicing them. At this time, some creatures thought, hey, you know, I think a creature could be a god beside God.
These creatures got classified as the rebels. God informed the rebels. He said he wanted to create basically an experiment. In this experiment, there was two options. Either the rebels can come back, kill their egos, and perform a service and be redeemed back into God's kingdom, or they can come into this experiment and decide for themselves once and for all who their God would be. And this is spelled out in chapter 33, verse 72, where we see that the ones who took up God's redemption without any question were classified as the animals, while the ones who basically wanted the freedom of choice were the human beings. It reads, "We have offered the responsibility, freedom of choice to the heavens and the earth and the mountains, but they refused to bear it and were afraid of it. But the human being accepted it. He was transgressing, ignorant."
Another verse talking about how the animals and everyone prostrates is chapter 22, verse 18. It reads, "Do you not realize that to God prostrates everything in the heavens and the earth? The sun, the moon, the stars, the mountains, the trees, the animals, as well as many people? Many people, however, are destined for retribution."
So at this point, God creates death. Death is basically a preliminary interim before we serve our lives here in this dominion, being the planet Earth in this universe. In 67:2, it says, "The one who created death and life for the purpose of distinguishing those among you who would do better. He is the Almighty, the Forgiving."
And chapter 7, verse 11 through 13, explains some of the situation that happens next. It says, "We created you, then shaped you. Then we said to the angels, fall prostrate before Adam. They fell prostrate except Iblis, Satan. He was not with the prostrators. He said, what prevented you from prostrating when I ordered you? He said, I am better than he. You created me from fire and created him from mud. He said, therefore, you must go down, for you are not to be arrogant here. Get out. You are debased."
So when Satan basically, at this point, he's exposed. And when he's exposed, it becomes clear that he's actually a jinn at this point. Jinns are creatures who basically believe that Satan could be a god beside God. So when he basically defies God's commandment to serve Adam and the human beings, he becomes a jinn. And in 1850, we read, "We said to the angels, fall prostrate before Adam. They fell prostrate except Satan. He became a jinn, for he disobeyed the order of his Lord. Will you choose him and his descendants as lords instead of me, even though they are your enemies? What a miserable substitute." It's probably important to note here that Satan, prior to becoming a jinn, was part of the angels. And in chapter 2, verse 30, we read that he wasn't exposed at this point. Angels are creatures of God who never questions absolute authority. When Satan questioned God's absolute authority, he became a jinn. By definition, a jinn is a fallen angel, and all jinns are descendants of Satan.
So at this time, after Satan was exposed, Adam and Eve were sent to paradise. And we read that in chapter 2, verse 35, the verse that we had read, that they live in paradise, and they could eat as they please, but they weren't supposed to approach this tree.
So Satan goes to them and basically tempts them. We read in other verses that he told them, lied to them, and said that this is the tree of unending kingship. At that point, Adam and Eve, they were duped by the devil. And unlike the Bible, it wasn't that Eve convinced Adam or anything like that. They made a decision on their own to defy God, and at which point they're basically sent down here on earth.
And going back to the flying the airplane example, so God gave Satan and set this whole scenario and this whole test so that Satan would be exposed and be given this trial to try and prove himself as a god beside him. So he was given this tiny remote speck of nothingness in a vast universe called planet Earth.
If you think about the size of planet Earth in comparison to even God says there's seven universes, each universe makes the universe within it seem like, you know, a grain of sand or a piece of dust. How minute and small this planet is. And this is the dominion that God gave Satan to try to run to make it as if it is in God's kingdom. And that's part of the reason we have so much misery and frustration and problems here on earth, is because it's being tampered with by a creature who does not understand what it is to be a god.
However, if you choose to be on God's side, God will protect you from Satan's incompetence. And we read that in the verses we read in chapter 238. It says, follow my guidance, and you will have nothing to fear, nor will you grieve. Some additional verses that exemplify the protection that we get from God, from Satan, are in the verses in chapter 15:39 through 42. It starts with Satan talking. He said, "My Lord, since you have willed that I go astray, I will surely entice them on earth. I will send them all astray, except those among your worshipers who are devoted absolutely to you alone." He said, "This is a law that is inviolable. You have no power over my servants. You only have power over the strayers who follow you." So we see from here that only those who do not side with God and do not pick to follow God are subjected to Satan's incompetence and are without God's protection. And it's also noteworthy that Satan is a liar and has a clearly wrong understanding. He thinks that God sent him astray, and he doesn't realize it was his own arrogance and ego that caused his expulsion from paradise. So God gives us this absolute protection from Satan's incompetence.
Similarly, we read that those who choose God basically will be protected from Satan, that Satan's going to come to you from the right, from the left, from behind you, from in front of you, and he has no power over those who choose God, who are absolutely devoted to God alone. So God didn't send us down here without properly preparing us. One of the blessings that God gave to the human race is the instinctive knowledge of worshiping God alone. And this is written in chapter 7, verse 172 through 174. It reads, "Recall that your Lord summoned all the descendants of Adam and had them bear witness for themselves. Am I not your Lord? They all said, 'Yes, we bear witness.' Thus you cannot say on the day of resurrection, 'We were not aware of this.' Nor can you say it was our parents who practiced idolatry and we simply followed in their footsteps. Will you punish us because of what others have innovated? We thus explain the revelations to enable people to redeem themselves." And again, we read it in chapter 30, verse 30, where it reads, "Therefore you shall devote yourself to the religion of strict monotheism. Such is the natural instinct placed into the people by God. Such creation of God will never change. This is the perfect religion, but most people do not know."
If we do a recap of the events that we had talked about in these verses, we begin with Satan's supercilious thought that he could be a god beside God. And that thought then proliferated to the other creatures who rebelled against God's absolute authority. And these creatures were then made into humans and animals. Then there was the creation of earth and Satan's exposure as the true arrogant creature and was expelled from paradise. Then it was our own eviction from paradise and our test beginning here on the planet earth.
So let's finish this podcast, God willing, by looking at the last three verses of our reading, starting from chapter 2, verse 37. It says, "Then Adam received from his Lord words whereby he redeemed him. He is a redeemer, most merciful. We said, 'Go down therefrom, all of you. When guidance comes to you from me, those who follow my guidance will have no fear, nor will they grieve. As for those who disbelieve and reject our revelations, they will be the dwellers of hell, wherein they abide forever.'" So God, similarly to us, gave us words whereby to redeem ourselves, that being the contact prayers. He also gave us messengers. He's given us the Quran as a revelation. And these are all blessings in order to make it back into God's kingdom. And for those who choose not to basically accept God's offer, the other alternative is the devil, which we read in chapter 36, verse 44. It says, "Do not worship the devil. The devil has rebelled against the most gracious." And in chapter 7, verse 27, it says, "O children of Adam, do not let the devil dupe you as he did when he caused the eviction of your parents from paradise." One thing that people might ask is, you know, why is it that Adam and Eve are the ones who made this mistake and we are here as their descendants? But realistically, every day in our life, we have a choice. We can decide to side with God, in which we're basically never fear, never grieve, we're in perfect happiness, or we can give in to the devil's whispers, in which case we commit sin and we suffer the consequences. This decision is up to us. And every day, God offers us either paradise or the misery of Satan's kingdom. God willing, let's take heed from this, and inshallah, we can do another podcast shortly. As always, highly recommend to read the Quran. You can find a awesome translation on QuranAlone.com. Our reading was done by submission.ws. And if you got any questions or comments, feel free to send us an email at QuranTalk@gmail.com. Peace and God bless.
Peace and God bless.